So we chose City Park because it's really like a pan-city place for everyone to be. But at the same time, what the Roving Village is seeking to do is to highlight kind of under-observed spaces of the city. So the part of City Park where we are is all the way up on Harrison Avenue. It's the abandoned golf course section of the park. And it's really like a wild and wonderful part of the park. So when we approached City Park officials about working there, they're actually really quite warm and open to it and went to a lot of trouble to get us power up there and to make it all possible, actually. It's really amazing to have so much wildness in the center of a city.
Mm-hmm. It gives us also a platform for non-musical programming, like artist talks, but also talks by wetlands conservationists, talks by herbalists from an herbal shop here in New Orleans called Maypop. They came out and did a walkthrough of edible plants in the area as well. So it really just gives us a forum to talk about a lot more than just the music and the art.
I thought the scene of it at night was just stunning. When you're crossing that bridge, you hear all the frogs and insects, then you're going into this almost kind of fairyland. Could you describe visually what it looks like, particularly at night?
I'm glad that you like the lighting because we spent a lot of time on our lighting. Taylor Shepherd, who is one of also the founders of the project, spends a lot of time in the lighting. And this time we actually had these two great guys, Paul Calder and CJ Day, who became our municipal light and power in our program because that's how seriously we take our lighting. So you cross this bridge into this world that is both familiar and unfamiliar. We have structures that kind of look like houses, but sort of maybe have some variation you wouldn't expect, like fans protruding outside of their walls, for example. So really, you've just entered this world of the familiar and the unfamiliar.
So let's hear some sound from the April 24th performance of The Music Box, which we're lucky enough to have a recording of, thanks to Joe Hollier, who came out on the...
Thanks, Joe.
On the first Friday of Jazz Fest. Members of out-of-town bands like Wilco with some local musicians like Quintron and Dustin Loke, and see what that was all about.
You know the kind of classic thing where people say, oh, my five-year-old could do that? Well, in this case, yes. Like, your five-year-old might be as good as anyone else playing this, you know? So there's really not that sort of, like, distance between professionalism and non-professionalism. But we try to organize a lineup of musicians that we think have good ears, really like to listen, and really know how to communicate musically.
I appreciated Quintron kind of working in House of the Rising Sun at the end of the performance, not only because we're working on houses and playing houses here, but because it brought a familiarity back to an otherwise otherworldly kind of sonic experience.
I always have thought of New Orleans as a city with not just great musicians and performers, but great audiences who dance and add their own voices to it and will always sing along if someone starts to sing along or clap along, right? Mm-hmm. I wonder how you've seen that play out since you have taken the project to other places. How is it different in New Orleans than some of the other places you've taken it?
Well, the magical thing actually has been that this project seems to touch a chord in everybody. I will say that it is absolutely a New Orleans-based project. About a year into the project, I was like, oh, wait, I know where we got this idea from. every Sunday people are performing on architecture in the city. You can see men and women jumping up on tops of buildings and bus shelters at second lines. Like, we already perform on our architecture, and it's funny that it took me like a whole year to even realize that. But, you know, from day one, musical house has seemed to make sense to people. Even if they don't know exactly what it means, it has a kind of innate resonance in people's souls for some reason.
Jay, how has the use of the village changed maybe from what was first envisioned?
I think it's just growing pretty naturally. It seems to, you know, when we first did it in my yard, we tried to control the environment as much as possible to make sure that people got sort of the what we thought of as the maximum experience out of it, the best we could offer in short periods of time for the concerts that we had. And this time, I think we're, you know, maybe because we're in a more wild environment, there's definitely less sort of control even over the audience or over the participants. And people seem to be kind of redefining it themselves. We just had Bache Bunda in, which are a group that does Brazilian music here, sort of samba drumming and stuff. And they went from house to house, doing it their own way, sort of treating each house as a mini stage, so to speak, while they performed their own music along with the sounds that the house has made. And it just seems like the programming is sort of following the wild nature of being in the park, you know?
And, you know, another thing is when we set out to do this project, I don't think we thought that our target audience was families, but when we opened to the public on Sundays, I am just like so delighted that our fine art, experimental art audience is all these families who come from all over the city, all walks of life. And it's really beautiful, and it's kind of changed my outlook on who I want to reach.
Delaney Martin and Jay Pennington of New Orleans Airlift talking about the Music Box Project. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.